Good morning, church. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my office once again to study the Gospel of Matthew with you, which we are doing on Sunday mornings at Potter's. Our service time is at 10 o'clock in the morning, so come on out for that. We do have most of the protocols from the CDC in place, except for the wearing of masks. I strongly encourage it, but if you feel that you cannot or don't need to, that's okay too. But we strongly encourage you to wear a mask, come on out, and be in service on Sundays. On Wednesdays at 6:30, we are studying the book of Ephesians, and we're almost done with the book of Ephesians, so we'll be starting something new. And if you want to join us, that would be great. 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. This morning we are in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Long text today, and that's just because of the way the subject breaks down. For whatever reason, it's lengthy, but we'll get through it. It really going to be talking about the things that defile, right? And so there's a lot of familiar expressions that we use today that we get from the Bible, right? We say things like, "Yeah, it's the blind leading the blind," and you know it that comes directly from Scripture. Leave them. They're blind guides. Blind guides. That's another thing that not as prevalent as the blind leading the blind. But another one that's prevalent is if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a pit, right? And these are things that we have, you know, sort of brought into our personal life, into our family life, into business. We say these things. And so, and they make sense, right? You don't want blind people leading blind people. That cannot be a good thing. So the Gospel of Matthew records a scene in which a group of Pharisees and scribes, they come and they travel from Jerusalem to confront Jesus. And, you know, the religious leaders of that day were the representatives of Judaism. And they were entrusted with studying the scriptures and getting God's people in the ways of the Lord. And so they had their marching orders. And without a doubt, the Jewish leaders of that day were receiving a lot of gossip and a lot of, you know, reports about the miracles and the unconventional ways that Jesus went about doing things in the ministry. And they were threatened, right? They became alarmed. And in their mind, there had to have been some regulation that was not being adhered to, or some law that was being broken, or even the tradition of the elders was not being kept, right? And so they have to do something about it. And, you know, guys, even today we have people that if it's different than what we've done before, then it must be bad. And it's not bad, right? Just different. Specifically, they come to Jesus with this question about breaking the tradition of hand washing, right, before meals. And according to the procedures, which they, you know, in reality were human-made regulations, not God's word, Jesus and his disciples were behaving in a way that made them ritually unclean, and that was, they couldn't have it. Jesus said in a place that, you know, you focus on straining for the gnat or getting, you know, something as small as a gnat, and the camel walks right through your front door into your living room and you don't see it because you're focused on all the details. They were not focusing on the body of Jesus's work. They were focusing on the details because they could get him trapped in the details. So this morning, our long text is in Matthew 15, verse 1-20, and I will begin reading there verses 1 through 20, I should say. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." And Jesus replied, "Why do you break the command of God for sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" Jesus called to the crowd Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know what the Pharisees were offended? They were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the body goes into the mouth and into the stomach and out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Father, I blessing to your word as we study this morning, Lord. We look to you to supply the Holy Spirit for help and give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and eyes to see what you're doing amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So why are we here this morning, church? You could probably say it with me by this point. We are here to study, to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That's our motivation this morning. We worship God corporately. We fellowship with God, being together, and we study his word for that purpose. So Jesus points out how the Pharisees had broken God's commandments in Matthew chapter 15, verse 3 through 9. And he establishes their hypocrisy by saying, you know, they regularly broke God's laws while demanding others to follow human or man-made traditions. They displayed this outward respect, but lacked the true devotion of God in their hearts, right? They were rebellious toward God and blinded, really, to the fact that they were spiritually empty. And in Matthew chapter 15, the verses 10 through 14, Jesus returns to their question about hand washing, and instead of addressing the Pharisees and the scribes, he shares a parable with the crowd. I think he did that because there was no sense in changing their hearts. They were already set to judge him. But the teaching upended the Pharisees' tradition, revealing that it's not what's on the outside of a person that causes defilement. What causes defilement is what is inside a person. It comes out of their heart to their mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and confession is made known. That's what defiles them. Christ wasn't, you know, refuting the idea that people can become unacceptable before God, by the outward, but it was by the inward. It happens from the inside out, not the outside in. Hand washing can't make a person clean if his heart is dirty. The human heart can't be, you know, it's deceitful and wicked. We know that. And Jeremiah tells us that in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. In a second parable, Jesus calls the Pharisees blind guides. And he repeats this characterization in Matthew 23, verse 16, when he says, "Woe to you, blind guides." And again in verse 24, "You blind guides, you strain the gnat but swallow the camel." If you look at this condition of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it is a condition that is in the church today. People want us to be church on the outside with no regard to the inner man of the spirit on the inside. We put on clothes for Sunday. We comb our hair. We go to church. We bring a Bible. All these are outward signs. But what about the condition of your heart? Look at all the stuff that we do during the week where we have no regard for conviction, no regard for what Jesus thinks about our behavior, and yet, hey, we're going to church, let's get cleaned up. You can wash yourself all you want, but if you're living in sin that you have not repented from, then you're not clean. Doesn't matter. You just get wet. That's what baptism is. Baptism doesn't clean you. It's a sign that you've already been cleaned. And the hypocrisy here is unbelievable. So let's interpret this morning. What really defiles? What is Jesus saying is the thing that really defiles? He says it's hypocrisy that defiles. When Jesus said of the Pharisees, "The blind lead the blind," he was emphasizing the foolishness of their situation. Only a person who can see ought to lead blind people. Can you imagine if, you know, you're walking down the street, "Hey, I love your dog. You know, yeah, he's a guide. Really? Can he see?" "No, he can't see. We're both blind." Why would you need a blind dog leading a blind person? To be successful in guiding others, you got to be able to see what's going on. If the blind lead the blind, those leaders are arrogant, they're overconfident, and in serious denial about their own sightness condition, so to speak. You look at these Pharisees and Sadducees, and again, they look down their noses at anybody that is spiritually successful that they can't pin, that they can't take the credit for. It's a lot like our government, right? Our government just tells us what to do. They just tell us what to do. Why are people so frustrated in our country right now? Because the blind have been leading the blind. This pandemic, nobody knew what to do. And instead of our, you know, government coming out in one accord and not making statements unless they were truthful and doing the real science and the real research, we move the goalposts every day and it frustrates people. Why? Why does it frustrate people? Because hypocrisy defiles. That's why. Jesus knew this was true of the scribes and the Pharisees who had come out to confront him. What does he say? A guide for the blind was a common title for Jewish leaders of the day, according to Romans chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus wasn't about to let his enemies continue to claim this title when, in truth, they needed someone to lead them, right? They needed somebody to lead them. Here they were called by God to lead the people, but they weren't leading the people at all. They were only leading the people that they could get to follow their man-made rules and regulations. You are only a successful leader as you lead people to Christ. You don't lead people to you. Nobody needs another spiritual you. It's not about conforming people into your image. It's about conforming people and helping them be conformed into his image. So the second thing of what this means in with regard to interpretation is, if hypocrisy defiles, number one, then number two, man-pleasing defiles. After Christ called the Pharisees blind leaders of the blind, he said to them, "Leave them," in Matthew 15, verse 14. By this he meant for his disciples to ignore the Pharisees, to leave them alone, and don't try and please them. These were, you know, regulations that they had. They were expert in God's law, but they were adding their own meaning to it and covering up the true meaning. And the same thing when they were eating, when David was eating the stalks on a Sabbath, and when the priests were working on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And Jesus pointed that out, if you can remember that. Jesus revealed that they were contradicting the very laws that they claimed to understand. And instead of leading their students along the right path that leads to abundant life and true life, they were guiding themselves and their followers to straight disaster. What is the result? He says both are going to fall into a pit. So the third thing is this attitude of my rules. That doctrine defiles. Rules for thee, but not for me, right? That defiles. His parable here of the blind leading the blind is relevant today. We elevate human interpretation of Scripture, right? We want to surround ourselves with the best pastors and the most knowledgeable, and this guy is an authority, and he says this, and he says that. It's God's word in your heart that you have been given the Holy Spirit to discern what that word means. You don't need man to teach you. You don't need man to interpret God's word for you. You've been given the same Holy Spirit that I have. And to be quite frank with you and to be quite honest with you, the lack of interpretation comes most of the time from just flat out being lazy and not doing the work. We have elevated human interpretation of Scripture. We have traditions that replace the authority of God's word. And this is a blindness that affects people in every generation. We're not any different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees sometimes. So Jesus confronts the Pharisees for their legalistic traditions and unwritten rules. He confronts them. Many churches today, denominations, leaders, individual believers try to enforce the same stuff on other people. Yeah, you're only baptized if you're baptized in our church. You're only saved if you're saved into our church. You're only saved if you follow our rules and regulations. You're only saved if you do everything that this church says that you should be doing. And when they do that, they have become the judge. They have become the God. And they're leading you into the ditch with them. My job as a pastor is to make sure that I equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and I point the way to Jesus, and people figure out through that pointing how to walk with him. I don't want people walking with Jesus through me. I'm not the conduit. That's the Holy Spirit. My job is to teach them how the Holy Spirit works and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit's supposed to do, and the rest is history. But there's a lot of religious people, a lot of traditionalists, a lot of people who like to lord authority, and they're blind guides. Call it what it is, they're a blind guide. So this morning, let's apply this. Number one, you must know the truth of God's word if you're going to be led by it, right? When we allow human rules and regulations to take priority over God's laws, we lead the people astray, as 2 Corinthians verse 11 through 3, or 11, chapter 11, verse 3, the simplicity that is in Christ, right? Don't make God complicated. God isn't complicated. He's hard to follow, but not complicated. So in order for us to know the truth, we can't be going to other people saying, well, what do you do? What do you do? And it's salvation by consensus. That ought not to be. I can hear James saying it right now. These things ought not to be so. We must know the truth if we're going to lead people. And we lead them by that standard. We don't change and move the goalposts around to fit whatever situation we're in. Well, we change this. We change that. Mormons do that. Catholics do that. We ought not to be doing that. Number two, we lead people to Jesus, not ourselves. We become blind leaders of the blind. We heap God's judgment on ourselves. Woe to you, Matthew 23, 13. Teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Think about that. That's how Jesus summed them up. You teachers of the law, you hypocrites. Woe to you, means judgment's coming. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter. And because you don't enter, you don't want anybody else entering. You want to be the gate. You say, Pastor Greg, you're getting pumped up. I am getting pumped up because this damages people. It damages people when they get involved in this legalistic rules and regulations and when they're not following God's word, but man's word. Number three, now that I'm all self-righteous against everybody else, what about the plank in my eye? What about the plank in your eye? We must be careful not to let our arrogance and denial blind us into the same spiritual condition. We must make sure that our vision is clear enough to guide others in their spiritual walk. Likewise, we do well when we choose leaders wisely, being careful not to follow blind guys who are going to lead us astray. We got to do a good job of that. We got to hold people accountable. If you've never known Jesus Christ and all you've seen in church leadership is people telling you what to do, I want to free you from that. And the way I free you from that is by introducing you to Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher and the perfecter of your faith. And if you want to know him, I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about joining the family of God. Then you need to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you will be saved. That's a promise. You will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You will be given the gifts of the Spirit. You will walk in the fruits of the Spirit. And you will walk in the power of the Spirit. Radically changed life. All from believing that he died for you. Make that your prayer. And if you do, give us a call at the church. The number is on the website. Let us know what you've decided so that we can rejoice with you. If you've already made that decision and you're just sitting in your chair this morning convicted, like me, remember, he has shown you, O man and woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. We'll see you next week. God bless.